I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blickety black, black, black.
Hello world. Hello world. Hello world. I'd like to dedicate this record to all those people who look to have something to say to those people out there who swear they're fresh, but they're really not fresh. Always fronting all the time, going around, acting like they're part of the crew, if you know what I mean. They're not really down. They're not really part of the crew. And if you ever find yourself at a loss of words, you can say something that goes like this.
Newbie!
Pimple on your nose, your Joe Knuckle neck. You need to see the barber that you can bet. Now when you get a girl, you boast and you brag. And every girl you had, she needs a paper bag. You big bone head, you silly rabbit. You need some advice, please kick the habit. You better stop. You run the show. I'ma take it to your face so that you know.
You ain't fresh, nah, baby. You ain't fresh, so go hang with yourself. You ain't fresh, you? You ain't fresh, fresh. Girl, you look fly, but you ain't that fly that you can't say hi when the guys say hi. I don't mean to squeal, but I'm gonna tell you that kid you wear ain't really real. You wear braided gold, your arms are musty, your breath is bad, your pants are dusty, and you got a big on your big toe. I'ma take it to your face so that you know. You ain't fresh, nah, baby. You ain't fresh, so go ahead with yourself. You ain't fresh, who? Not you. You ain't fresh, fresh. You ain't fresh, you ain't fresh. You ain't fresh, you ain't fresh, fresh. Hey, you're thinking, Sam, you better go ahead. You smell just like two rotten eggs. I know times are hard, but it ain't that hard. Go buy yourself some right guard. I saw many things I couldn't ignore. Never saw a face like yours before. It's like a bulldog in an ugly show. I'ma tell you to your face so that you know. You ain't fresh, baby. You ain't fresh, so go ahead. You ain't fresh, who, you? You ain't fresh. You ain't fresh, you ain't fresh, You ain't fresh, you ain't fresh.
Check 1-2, Fat Mac, Almighty Triple XL, coming at y'all live and direct, MacCity.com. I'm burnt out, wore out, this shit is out of control. I'm trying to tell you, boy, this propaganda machine is no goddamn joke, boy. Got niggas running around like chickens with their heads cut off, boy. This latest Walter Scott shit pushed these niggas over the edge, man. boy. The cops, they be killing us. You know, I mean, once again, there's this thing called Google. All you gotta do is get on that shit, man. If you look at all the, FBI statistics, man, you know, the incidences of cops actually killing brothers is actually down, you know what I'm saying, man? And but like I said, you know, the media gives this perception like, you know, it's a major epidemic, because of course we have the advent of smartphones now. A lot of shit is getting caught, and you know, motherfuckers is giving this perception like it is this epidemic. Nigga, there is no epidemic, man. There is no fucking epidemic. And of course you could argue, well, if it's one nigga, that's too much. Nigga, that's too much. If it's just one, oh my God. Once again, I told y'all in one of the last shows, man, didn't know it's like, niggas gonna believe what the fuck you wanna believe. You can concentrate all you want on crying about shit, man. But once again, I keep trying to impress upon you. Keep trying to impress upon you. You're doing shit ass backwards. What you are doing is tantamount, you know, if you have a dam that's holding back water, and, you know, there's cracks in the dam, and each time a new crack or hole opens up, you keep running up to the hole, and you plug it with your finger, and then there's another leak that happens, then you gotta leave that hole and plug up the other hole with your other finger. You know what I'm saying? And that's all you niggas is doing, man. You just plugging the holes of the dam with your finger. That's all you doing. Instead of you saying, wait a minute, why don't we just create another dam, a better dam, a dam that's not rotting and it's not falling apart at its core. Why don't we just do that instead of running around trying to duct tape this shit or plug it with our finger or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Why don't we try that? So we don't have to worry about the damn spring leaks. Niggas is backwards, man. Niggas is backwards, man. Once again, talking about the whole concept of disease, infectious diseases. If you niggas was doctors, and this is actually how the medical profession actually operates. They operate on treating the symptoms of disease. They do not operate on the basis of trying to actually cure the disease itself to get rid of the symptoms. But today's doctor, today's medical practice, you know, there's more money in the disease than the cure. So that's what they do. They treat the symptoms of disease, but they do not treat the disease itself. Therefore, you will always have to come back. You'll always have to get the latest miracle drug to treat the symptoms of the underlying disease. And that's what you niggas do. That's how you niggas do. You wanna fuck around and treat the symptoms of a disease and not the disease itself. And what is the disease? Well, according to these, and I hate to use this term pro-black, because most of these niggas ain't at all nowhere near that term pro-black, man. Pro-stupid, maybe. You know what I'm saying? But most of you motherfuckers, man, like I said, you want to work backwards. You want to treat the symptoms of the disease and the disease of so-called white supremacy. But all you have to do is concentrate on self, build the self, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be distracted by all this side shit that they are doing. And who's they? That would be, you know, the corporate media. That would be the oligarchs. That would be the Jesuit priesthood. That would be, I mean, there's so many outfits that's out there actually pulling the Jedi mind trick on you niggas, man. Once again, you're distracted on shit that don't mean nothing. The death of one man is a tragedy. The death of a million is just a fucking statistic. And that's how you treat it, man. But yes, the disease is so-called white supremacy. And you motherfuckers, right, you know, you want to go ahead and you want to treat the symptoms. You don't want to treat the disease. And how do you treat the disease? Like I said, concentrate on self. Not having any excuses whatsoever for your failures. None. You know, every time I turn around, it's like, but we don't have no military, but we don't own nothing, and we don't have nothing. Well, of course you don't. You know why? Because you're too busy crying about not having it. Nigga, go get it. Go, but they won't let us have, see? The only way you're going to get out of this shit, man, is adopting a culture of no excuses. None. Zero. Zero fucking excuses. Shit. But, you know, you'd rather sit around and cry about the symptoms of the disease, which you would call white supremacy, about the social injustices and about the injustice that you receive in court and about the whole economic situation where we don't have no economy. Well, whose fault is that? You know, I mean, I've been out here in these streets long enough, man. A lot of people are under this impression that hoes are, should I say, these poor defenseless creatures, man. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is, hoes love to be hoes. And, you know, whenever you meet a pimp with a hoe, the hoe chooses the pimp. I'm sorry I have to break this down in, you know, in nigga logic and nigga knowledge and shit. But hoes choose their pimps. And the hoes, most of the time, will defend their pimps. They'll go to bat all day for that so-called, that manipulator, that lying, scheming, conniving-ass low-life pimp that's forcing her to sell pussy. The pimp, more likely, most of the time, is not forcing that bitch to sell no pussy, man. She's taking to it like a fish, you know, the water, man. That's what she do, and that's what she love to do. Fuck. And for her not to have a pimp in her life, you know, that means that she's going to be lonely. You know, so she identifies greatly with that pimp, man. And that's what you niggas do, man. You niggas, you identify greatly with your pimp, which is the so-called white man. And without that white man, the kick, the fucking the kick sparks out your ass to get you in gear. I don't know, man. You know, I'm starting to have second thoughts about the so-called greatness of melanin. Come on, man. Come on, you niggas, man. You got to stop, man. You got to stop. You motherfuckers. Yes, hoes freely choose their pimps. Hoes gravitate towards pimps. Hoes need pimps. So what does that say about you, nigga? You know what I'm saying? Because every time, like I say, every time I turn around, it's an excuse. There's an excuse for this. Well, it's because of post-traumatic slave syndrome. Because we were slaves. Never mind the fact that we owned more shit and we had more shit, you know, directly getting out of slavery. And, of course, the family unit was more intact. You know, everything, you know, as far as the social cohesion that blacks had, you know, right after slavery, even within Jim Crow, is shit 80-90% better than what the fuck's going on now. You know what I mean? Just because you get a lot of free shit, and of course that free shit is designed to keep you on the plantation, to keep you satisfied, just to keep you, just give you enough, just to give you enough where you won't run off the plantation. You know what I mean? So I mean, I'm burnt out on this shit, man. I've been wanting to come on and do shows, but I've been kind of, like I said, I've just been kind of burnt out because I'm looking at the shit and I'm looking at how the propaganda's worked very masterfully, but worked very well, pertaining to the so-called police brutality with these niggas and shit, man. You know, it's like, shit's been going on forever. Going on forever, but now all of a sudden you niggas using a tizzy just because, you know, there's a proliferation of videos that's coming out. And like I said, man, damn, once again, you're plugging the holes of the dam with your finger. You're treating the symptoms of the disease instead of the disease itself. I'm not going to sit around and whine about that bullshit. Not to mention the fact that the government routinely uses wag the dog tactics to basically dupe you niggas, man. You know? They do have such things called crisis actors. And they can orchestrate and they can act out scenarios and pass them off as actual events just to get you riled up. They do it all the time. And of course, I know, you know, nigga, that's conspiracies. I mean, this sort of shit is taught in, like, war colleges, man. You know what I'm saying? But pay no mind to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just sitting back peeping the game. Peeping the motherfucking game, man. But let me just say this, man. Let me kind of like bring it, dial it back a little bit, bring it down to earth a little bit. I like to talk about, because I do have such an allergic reaction and an extreme aversion to dumb nigga shit, man. And this thing with the whole Team Tommy, and for y'all who don't know what I'm talking about, let me be more clear. Tommy Sotomayor and Tariq Nasheed. I'm so sick of motherfuckers picking teams. I'm Team Tommy. I'm Team Tariq. What kind of a man goes around holding pom-poms for another nigga, man? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why can't somebody just sit down and look at what both of these cats do and see the value, the inherent value in what both of them do? Why is that so fucking hard? Why is it that, you know, you can sit down and you can agree with some shit Tariq say, right? And not have some Tommy motherfucker, some Tommy asshole saying, you know, fuck that, this and fuck this and fuck that, and vice versa, where you can have some situations where you agree with what Tommy says, but you got some Tariq asshole, you know, holding his pom-poms, holding his balls in his mouth, and talking about, ah, nigga, how can you co-sign with that nigga? And let me just say this, man, because like I said, I post it in both forms. Like, you know, I'll be on YouTube and I'll go ahead and comment on some shit that either one of them cats may have said. And this is 100, man. You know, this is from my observation, from the responses I've got. Like, if I go ahead and write something in favor of what Tommy said, I will get the most stupid, retarded rebuttals from a Tariq fan that really don't have jack shit to do with what the fuck I'm talking about. They usually, you know, respond with motherfucker this and motherfucker that, coon, 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 coon. It's like, seriously, nigga, this is how you gonna, like, debate me? You know, and I always tell motherfuckers, I'm like, he who throws the first insult loses the goddamn argument, man. You know what I mean? And vice versa, you know, if I go ahead and I say something about Tariq, if I, you know, co-sign something Tariq says, like, yeah, you know, I can rock with that. I can get with that. Now, this happens far less. You know what I mean? I really don't get harassed that much by a Tommy fan more so than a Tariq fan. There seems to be this sort of divide, you know, and once again, I'm not Team Tommy or Team Tariq. I'm just saying, man, this is just my experience. The most ignorant motherfuckers seem to be the Tariq fans. These is the niggas that's, they ain't read no books for the most part. They may have seen Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, and that's basically it. You know what I mean? But now they scholars. Now they want to run around calling everybody coons and shit. I'm like, nigga, really? How old are you, nigga? You know what I'm saying? So from what I can see, once again, please don't cry about this. I'm just giving you my fucking observation. All right? The Tommy supporters seem to be like older, a little bit more established. You know what I mean? Got families, you know, extremely conservative. I wouldn't even say extremely conservative, but they, you know, they have a conservative slant. And they have less of a stomach for excuses. And they don't really tolerate that shit. You know, these motherfuckers right here, right, who are Tariq fans, though. Good Lord, man. These motherfuckers. These niggas, man, are ignorant as the fuck, man. I'm trying to tell you, it's like they just so angry and so pissed off, and they so angry and pissed off about shit, you know, the shit that they spitting, the shit they talking about, comes to no logical conclusion whatsoever. I even had this chick who was so-called a Tariq supporter, man, who wanted to debate me about what niggas could and could not read. There was one cat who was talking about, yeah, I just bought these books by Madame H.P. Blavatsky, and I bought these other books by Aleister Crowley, and, you know, I just want to see what they got to say, you know what I'm saying? And then I chimed in, I'm like, man, them is good reads, man, you know what I'm saying, for thinking outside the box, you know what I mean? Go ahead and, you know, fuck with it, man. And then this bitch jump in, why the fuck would anybody want to read that shit? Madam H.P. Blavatsky was a racist, and she was a murderer, and she belonged to this society, and that society, and she, the bitch was popping her whip. The bitch knew what she was talking about. I could tell she had actually read up on the subject of Aleister Crowley and Madam H.P. Blavatsky. All right, for those who don't know, you know, Madam H.P. Blavatsky founded the Theosophical Society and was a member of the Thule Society. And, you know, Crowley, I think, founded the Golden Dawn, or, you know, it escapes me because I'm not really up on that like I used to. My hard drive is full, so a lot of the information is kind of like degraded within my brain cells and whatnot. But these are basically prominent Europeans, man, that was really on that occult shit. So she was basically saying that no one needs to read that shit. That's bullshit. They're racist and they're evil and they're murderers and this and that and that and this. And I'm just thinking, why is this bitch so angry? Me and this cat, we having a civil conversation. He's telling me that he bought these books and he's about to read them to see what it's all about. And this bitch jump in, chastising me for saying, hey, that's good that you're thinking outside the box and you're reading shit that's just not typical nigga shit. That's a good idea. But this bitch jump in talking cash shit about how it's a bad idea, while at the same time demonstrating. It just boggled my mind that she couldn't see how fucking stupid she sounded. Because it's obvious that this bitch had read the material. She had read the books on these two individuals. And she came to her own conclusion about what they were about. So what you trying to tell me, bitch, is this man right here who has read the books, he can't come to his own conclusion about the characters, about these individuals? Bitch, you the only one that's allowed to read the shit and come to your own fucking conclusion? Is that what you're telling me? It was just incredible. So I chimed back at her. I'm like, well, it's obvious that, you know, you've obviously read the source material on these individuals, right? So now you're telling this cat that he don't need to read it? And then you coming down on individuals who would say, hey, it's a good idea that you should get information from all different types of source materials. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird. It's like these motherfuckers, the stupidity is so, it hurts. It hurts me physically when I'm just around people like this, when I talk to people like this. You know, I literally short circuit because I'm literally like, is this bitch serious? Bitch, are you for real? You know what I mean? Because like I said, it's obvious that she read the shit. It's obvious that she knows a little bit of what she's talking about. Because, you know, I've read this shit myself too. And I'm encouraging this cat right here, like, go ahead, get into that. You know, let me know what you think about it. This bitch, who needs to read that shit? No one needs to read that shit. That's bullshit. She was this and she was that and he was this and he was that. And I'm like, so you can't afford him the same respect that someone once gave you? Did anybody tell you not to read that shit? Did anyone chastise you for reading something out of the norm? Obviously not, because you're regurgitating the shit that you just fucking read about the individuals. But now all of a sudden, you know, you the authority on shit. Bitch, get the fuck out of here, man. And so that's the dangerous shit that's coming around the pike, man. Like the whole Hidden Colors shit. And I hate to keep saying it every time I talk about it, but of course, these are really good informational tools to use to get a bead on, you know, to get abreast on a more accurate assessment of Black history. You know what I mean? That's good. But the problem we're having now is motherfuckers who have only seen the DVD, right? Which is no fault of Tariq's, okay? They've only seen the DVD, and now they're scholars. And now they want to run around calling everybody coons. It's like, and it really just irritates the shit out of me, because I've been rotating, man. I've been fucking building on this shit, man, since I was 18. You know what I mean? And I'm 45. You dig? So it's like, man, I've been studying up on the Knights Templars and the Masonic Order and the Jesuit priesthood and, you know, I mean, yeah, so-called Black history and African Pan-African. I've been doing this shit a long time, man. Matter of fact, let me just kind of like read you my coon resume, because this is the, like I said, this is the hilarious part about what I'm dealing with now. I got these new niggas, these hidden color niggas. That's what I'm gonna call them. You one of them hidden color niggas, man, that basically talk about hidden colors or regurgitate hidden color shit, but you ain't read nothing. You ain't really seen nothing. You ain't really fleshed shit out on a serious level. You know what I mean? As good as the DVDs are, there is no substitute for reading a book, bitch. You know what I mean? You got to read books. Okay? I mean, you got certain lessons therein in a Hidden Colors DVD that you got from the masters, like the John Henry Clarks and the John G. Jacksons and, of course, the Sheik Anta Diops and shit. But nothing compares to reading their fucking books. Okay? Read their books. Read their material. God damn, man. And then, of course, individuals who have read their books, who have sat down and actually made a real conscious effort to learn the shit while not being lazy, you know, because let's just be honest with you. Let's just be honest, man. Whenever you fucking around trying to learn something and you don't want to read about it, nigga, you being lazy. If you got to sit down and have it like kind of like spoon-fed to you on a DVD format, nigga, you being lazy. Okay? So that's what I'm dealing with now. I'm dealing with these new niggas looking at a DVD, swearing up and down that, you know, they got the wisdom of the fucking universe, man. And by far, like I said, if I could break it down in percentages, the most ignorant bastards, man, tend to be Tariq supporters, man. You know, they tend to be younger, tend not to know as much, you know, but they do know Hidden Colors. They do know that shit. You know what I mean? And they're very quick to insult you. Very quick. You know what I mean? Instead of like just debating you on the merits of the argument, they're going to call you a coon. You know, just because you disagree with something that was said. I mean, you can agree with 95% of the shit that's supposed to be said between y'all two, but, you know, where you diverge on that 5% line, you will be automatically relegated to the coon train. And this shit is irritating the fuck out of me, man. You know, it's kind of like, you know, like, really, nigga? Like, man, you couldn't hold my jock strap, man. I mean, if it really came down to a philosophical debate on some shit, I'm trying to tell you, man, these niggas couldn't handle this heat. Good Lord, man. So, this is what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to take me a little break. I'm going to try and gather my thoughts, because it's getting harder and harder to do these shows, man. You know, I feel my family curse is catching up with me. Family curses are catching up with me. There's a lot of genius and insanity in my family. And sometimes my thought processes are just so abstract nowadays, it's hard to maintain just a coherent thought. Because I'm all over the place. I'm thinking about 1 million things per second. I'll be back.
The question was about the social context.
No, okay, let's go back.
Social.
So, in the States, in the United States in the 60s, we had, and 50s, 50s and 60s, early 70s, we had a thing called the Civil Rights Movement. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Stokely Carmichael, now Kwame Ture, and others, Black Panther Party, Weathermen, et cetera, et cetera. This movement for freedom always existed within the United States. In the United States, we have a huge abolitionist movement, people who are against slavery, and most of them are white people, to be honest with you. In the United States, most of the people who are against slavery in the United States are white people. You would think that black people would be the ones at the forefront of the abolitionist movement, and we are. I mean, I could quote Frederick Douglass, I can go to Nat Turner, I could talk about Harriet Tubman and others. But when you look at the historical change, we can fight. We fight, we riot, we protest. But when it comes to the courts, the laws, the mood of society, religion, white people, white Americans have been at the forefront, have been the leaders of black freedom. Now, black people don't want to say that. I don't know why, but it's the truth. The truth is, Barack Obama was not elected by black people. Even if all the black people in America voted for Barack Obama, he still wouldn't win, because we're that small of a group in the United States. Latinos, whites, they said, we want him, black man in office. Now, of course, we black people in America, we appreciate it. We're like, yes, finally we have a black president, blah, 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 blah. And I can go into that too on another level. But just the sheer excitement of it, okay? Just keep it light, keep it on the surface. To understand the movement for real, the real freedom movement, it has no color on it. And if it did have a color on it, it would be revolutionary white people that would be at the front of it. Now, of course, there's people like me in the United States, black men that are fighting for freedom every day. Every day, we never let up, ever. It is in my blood. I will always stand for the cause of black liberation, no doubt. But I stand for truth also. I stand for humanity first. The deepest part to being black is being African. Deepest part to being African is being human. Deepest part to being human, being God. Deepest part of being God is being love, being intelligence, and all of the above, understanding, mercy, all that. It's God-like. What would you rather be, black or God? Who are you really, African-American or human? I tend to lean toward human.
Yo, Chuck, what's the move, man? I was on my way up here to the studio, you know what I'm saying? And this brother stopped me and asked me, yo, what's up with that brother, Chucky D? He's sway nice. I said, yo, the brother don't swear he nice. He knows he's nice, you know what I'm saying? So, Chuck, I got a feeling you turned into a public enemy, man. Now, remember that line you was kicking to me on the way out to L.A. Lounge in Queens while we was in the car on our way to the shop? Well, yo, right now, kick the bass for them brothers and let them know what goes on.
Shot down from the mouth that roared. 1, 2, 3, down for the count. The result of my lyrics, oh yes, no doubt. Cold rock rap, 49 supreme is what I choose and I use. I never lose to a team, cause I can go solo like a Tyson photo. Make the fly girls wanna have my photo. Run in a room, hang it on the wall in remembrance that I rock them all. Suckers, ducks, so up the MCs. You can't rock the kids, so go cut the cheese. Take this application to rhymes like me. My rap trend high.
Don't you know, I got a posse of the force.
Fat Mac back in this bitch, man. Trying to crank out a show before April ends. I know y'all get kind of antsy. Want to try and check out what the hell's going on with me. And right about now, I'm just telling y'all I'm very irritated with these niggas, man. These new niggas are irritating the fuck out of me. Basically, what we need to do, and this is what I'm trying to do, and it seems to be working. I need to create an atmosphere where everybody can speak their mind without being fucking insulted. I mean, is that so hard to ask for, where everybody can sit down and be like, hey, look, you know, this is what I think and this is why I think it, you know. And then once you lay that out, then the other person, hopefully they will have the intelligence and the maturity to say, well, I disagree with you and this is why I disagree. I would like very much to get to the point where if you have a disagreement, you're not automatically like on some shit where you're like calling people names and you're spitting venom and having a fucking hissy fit. Because that's what I'm seeing out of most of these new niggas, these Tariq supporters, with this, I mean, everything is like, coon, coon, coon. It's sickening. And yes, I have a problem with that because I've been put in that boat a lot all my days, man, you know, coming up, because I was just different. And matter of fact, let me give you my coon resume. I'm going to give you my coon resume. And really, like I said, there's nothing in the resume that actually says I'm a coon, but because I was raised around white people, you know what I mean, the first half of my life, this, for some reason, left a bad taste in most of these niggas' mouths, man. I don't know. And of course, whenever you try to help niggas, of course, I don't know what it is about these new niggas, man, but you know, you can't help niggas, because when you try to help them somehow, some way, you know, you're a coon, shit. And you're telling them the right shit, you're telling them the correct way to go, but you know, they don't want to hear shit about hard work and self-discipline. So, you know, that makes you a fucking coon. Too. So let me go ahead and hit you with my coon resume to let you know why when I hear these niggas speaking, man, it's laughable and it's physiologically painful for me. Actually, I get headaches and I feel like I'm having a nosebleed, stomach aches when I hear these niggas talking to me, because it's just painful. It's like, these niggas are really fucking stupid. These niggas are fucking... God damn, man. Okay, well, first of all, of course, I went to the Army, and was heavily, of course, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a staunch Christian, but, you know, I was baptized in the Army. You know, I did that old Christian thing, Christian first 18 years of my life, and then once I got in there, you know, I started meeting brothers from all around the United States, you know, cause that's a beautiful thing about being in the military. You meet cats from different cities, different parts of the United States and shit, right? So, Nation of Islam really wasn't popping in Dayton, Ohio at the time. Shit, but, you know, I was meeting niggas from Chicago and from Los Angeles. And, I mean, so I got really deep into some Nation of Islam type shit, man. And I actually became a card-carrying member of the Nation of Islam for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But of course, me being ignorant to religion at the time, I didn't know there was a difference between the black Muslims and Orthodox Islam. So I started going to masjids and mosques and reading up on things. And I'm over there. And this is the funny thing about this whole situation, because wow, these young niggas running around talking about coon this and coon that and white man and white devil. And I was once one of them niggas, man. I was like, yeah, the white man this. And the white man that, white devils, devil this, blue-eyed devil, you know what I'm saying? And then it took me to go to, like, one of these Orthodox mosques, man, and I was talking all that white devil shit, man. They looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Because, of course, these was, like, cats from, like, the Middle East, and they weren't necessarily white, weren't necessarily black, they were, you know, Arabs. And they're looking at me, you know, and while we're making, you know, at Juma, at prayer, you know, and I'm, yeah, I just had so much to learn because I didn't know shit, man. That's the problem with these niggas. They don't know shit. They think they know, but they don't know, right? And so I'm over there, and I'm thinking that the Mr. Farrakhan Islam is the same as the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam Islam, and it's not. And so that, so somebody had to sit me down and be like, no, you in the wrong spot. This ain't that type of Islam. No, this is the Islam that incorporates love and compassion for all people, regardless of color. You know what I mean? But I was still on that black power shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I don't want to fuck around with them Sunnis. I'm like, man, so where do I go and find like a black Muslim temple and shit? So, I mean, look, I've done it all, man. I've done all that black shit. I've done it all. I've been a part of the Nation of Islam. I did the Orthodox Islam. I even did the Nubian Islamic Hebrews with Dr. York, nigga. I did the 5% Islam shit, you know, with Clarence 13X. I even went down to Florida and spent time on the compound with Yahweh Ben Yahweh, nigga. You feel me? All of this is fuck whitey. All of this is fuck the white devils. All of it. And in 2015, I gotta hear some cocksucking ass niggas that seen two DVDs call me a fucking coon. Woo, son. I'm trying to tell you, boy, these new niggas is dangerous, man. These new niggas is dangerous, boy. Good Lord. I'm like, cousin, seriously? Man, of course, I done told y'all about me writing all those scribes, man, and all those pamphlets and disseminating them all through Dayton, which was real hot and real popular. And then when I got the prison job, you know, in hopes to infiltrate the white man's system to help the brothers out, I go into the prison and I see all my literature flowing through the prison. And no one knew that I was the author of the Black Prophet series. Once again, pro-black radical shit. You know what I mean? No one knew I was the author of that shit, but I seen that shit was circulating and niggas was digging it and niggas was loving it, right? So I go in there trying to help niggas, right? Guess what? Y'all have already heard the stories of that shit. You know, it was just useless. These, oh, god damn, man. It was a nightmare. It was just, you know, once again, you see the whole prophet Jesus scenario playing out. How each prophet comes to save his people, but his own people ends up crucifying him and leaving his ass hung out to dry. You know what I'm saying? That shit was crazy. And then I think I told y'all about where the administration finally figured out who I was, right? Because I had made, at the time when I was writing this shit, I didn't realize how radical it really was. But my brother was locked up in another prison, right, in Ohio, and I sent him some of my literature. And this is while I was under the employment of the Department of Corrections. And then I guess that shit was so mind-numbingly just dangerous to him, they had to ask him, like, who is this that's writing this shit? And why is he sending it to you? Man. So my brother was like, hey, that's just my big bro. You know, he on that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nigga, I was on some radical shit. I mean, when I still don't understand what possessed me to mail this shit to him. Me working in a prison, knowing how anal they are about so-called gang paraphernalia and gang literature and shit. They, you know, they was thinking it was some gang shit. You know what I mean? I mean, but I had pistols and, man, I just had all kinds of silly shit put on. It was a pamphlet. Let me just put you this way. You know, I had like 6-point star and I had a serpent and I had like twin Glocks on it and shit. Nigga, you wanna talk about black? You wanna talk about just super duper annoyingly pro-black? That was me. I was so pro-black, I was kinda like retarded. And you gotta be retarded to send some shit like that into a fucking prison. And especially since I'm a corrections officer, I should know what the fuck they're gonna look for. But I sent the shit in anyway. I ain't give a fuck. And so my brother, he got in trouble for the shit. They put that nigga in solitary confinement because they thought he was a major gang leader or some shit. Then the shit came down the pike. Then they talked to my warden, and they pulled me into the office, and they're like, "Who are you, and what are you about, and what's all this about?" And we've seen stuff like this circulating through the prison for the past couple years, and we've been up wondering, who is it? And I was like, oh my God, seriously? Man, I almost lost my job over that shit. They was thinking about trying to get rid of me, but they knew they couldn't. You know what I mean? They knew it was just a lawsuit waiting to happen. So once again, in 2015, I have to deal with these stupid ass... calm down. Blood pressure is rising. I have to deal with these nothing ass niggas, man. These two DVD listening cocksuckers. Call me a fucking coon. Once again, man, done it all. Nation of Islam, Sunni Islam, Nubian Islam of Hebrews, 5% nation. Yahweh been Yahweh. I mean, nigga, work in the belly of the beast as far as the prison industrial complex, the military industrial complex. You know, I was over in Saudi Arabia, nigga. I was over in Iraq. I seen it all go down. First Desert Storm, 1991, nigga. I got stories, nigga. I got experience, nigga. But I gotta listen to some snot-nosed bitch-ass nigga on the internet tell me I'm a coon. I am so fucking sick of you niggas, man. I'm losing it. I'm losing it, man. You know what I'm saying? I got experience under my belt. I know what the fuck I'm talking about, my nigga. Shit. And the only thing that's going to save you niggas is serious self-analysis. That's it. The only thing that's going to save you is being in a culture where excuses are not fucking tolerated. That's it. That's it. All this sitting around debating, talking about who's the original man and we got melanin. Nigga, that don't mean shit. It don't mean shit. In the grand scheme of things, it don't mean jack shit. You can sit around intellectually fucking masturbate all you want. But if you ain't doing shit, what's the purpose? What Bruce Lee say? Said, knowing is not enough. We must apply. And you niggas ain't applying shit. The best thing you can do with so-called application or applying shit is go around call other motherfuckers' names because they want you to put in some work. But you niggas don't want to put in no fucking work. And anybody that does tell you to put in work, somehow, some way, they in league with white people. Oh, Jesus, man. I had to go ahead and dig up my disciplinary papers. From my pro-black radical days in the prison, man. This shit is fucking hilarious, man. This shit transpired, let me see. I got my disciplinary papers September 3rd, 1996. And I was suspended for 15 days due to, conduct unbecoming an officer. So let me read this shit off. And basically, the disciplinary action was to take effect October 11th through the 29th, 1996. And it says, you are to be suspended for the following infraction. Two internal affairs incident reports and supporting evidence was submitted by Captain such and such. You were charged with violating Rules 12, 38, and 46A of the Standards of Employee Conduct. You mailed a letter to your brother, who is an inmate at such and such correctional institution, without proper authorization. The contents of the letter were very inflammatory, racially oriented, and promoted violence. Upon the conclusion of Mr. Such and Such's investigation with you about this matter, you referred to the administration as the Gestapo in Captain Such and Such's presence. Your actions cannot and will not be tolerated. These beliefs exhibited and result in serious consequences within a prison setting, which has employees and inmates of diverse ethnic backgrounds. Your actions constitute a violation of Rule 12, making obscene gestures or statements or false or abusive statements towards or concerning another employee, supervisor, or member of the general public. Rule 38, actions that could compromise or impair the ability of the employee to effectively carry out his or her duties as a public employee. And Rule 46A, the exchange of personal letters, pictures, phone calls, or information with any individual under the supervision of the department or friends or family of same without express or authorization of the department of the standards of employee conduct. Booyah! Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections Notice of Disciplinary Action. So, yeah, man. That shit was crazy, man. Them motherfuckers was heated. They did not like me. So, yeah. Motherfuckers talking about pro-black. And you ain't got no guts. And you just want to be down with Whitey. Nigga, I wrote the book on this shit, bitch. You motherfuckers. Y'all motherfuckers just trying to catch up to me, nigga. Shit, for real. I'm just taking the road that Malcolm took, that's all. You know, Malcolm seen the writing on the wall, man. You know, he really seen reality for what it was at the very end. You know, and you can't really be looking at people's skin color, you know, for your salvation, bruh. Shit. It took a while for me to see it. Shit, I seen it, fuck, you know, but as a matter of fact, man, let me read the letter I wrote my brother. This shit, I read this shit now, and I'm lightweight embarrassed, because, I mean, it's so stereotypically pro-black. I mean, I can see myself eating a bean pie while I'm writing this shit out, man. This shit is... Wow, man. Okay. It's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to read this shit because just the very vernacular of it is hilarious. Like I said, this is back in like 96, man. This is almost a 20-year-old letter. So let me read this shit. Once again, this is the letter I wrote my brother while he was incarcerated. He was an inmate and I was a CO. Here we go. Peace, baby brother. What up, kid? I know you ain't partying or having a good time in there with all them hard-legged niggas. You need to think about coming out of that slave camp and get some skins from the sweetest thing in the world, the black woman. Did I actually write this shit? Okay, here we go. If nothing motivates you to leave that hell, some wet skins should make you want to get in all the programs the institution has to offer. Come home with the right state of mind, Jay. Or you will end up back in there with fags and AIDS. Did I write this shit? I could not have wrote this shit. I am still a lunatic and I'm getting worse. I dwell amongst these mortal ass niggas and wonder how we made it this far in America. Niggas be doing some dumb shit. Yeah, that sounds like me. Mm-hmm. That's definitely me right there. Niggas be doing some dumb shit. Niggas let the devil push them into situations they can't win. Brother, will you let the devil dictate your actions again when you leave the prison? Or will you manifest the God in you and take charge of your destiny? If you plan on being a hoe and cry about what the white man did not give you. Boy. Yep, this is me. You may as well stay in that hellhole. We don't need any more mentally dead ass niggas holding us back. This is my time to destroy all mental death in my nation. I will weed out the gods from the niggas and let all the niggas die a slow and painful death. Fuck all fake gangster ass niggas. Don't be trying to emulate those wannabe gangsters in the rap game or in the prison system. They are dead and don't even know it. Get you an education and learn about all things in the universe. If you attain knowledge, no man can deny you anything. Become the master of your world. Ain't no badass niggas in prison. If they was bad, they wouldn't let the police cuff their ass and throw them in jail. A real badass would take his bullets in the chest and be done with it. But instead, they bitch up and put their hands behind their back
and go to the place where they are told what to do on a daily basis like a bunch of babies. Brother, understand this. A real man can stand on his own. All this calling us for money and shit is some old trick shit. I don't mind sending my brother some ends now and then, but if I don't send it when you want it, don't call and sweat me, nigga. Oh, man, this is funny as hell. You even get attitudes if a brother can't send you some ends. I don't have a motherfucker doing shit for me out here. I pay for it all. Bills, food, mortgage, clothes, kids. Nigga, I don't have free room and board or medical or meals. So get a grip on yourself with all this begging shit. You are too smart for prison, brother. I hope that you have learned a lesson about life. Whatever you put into life, it will give it back. This means if you steady bullshitting, then life will bullshit you back. And no one will be responsible for your downfall but you. Life is a mirror. Whatever face you make in the mirror, understand that face will stare back at you. So if you wish to frown upon life, life will frown upon you. Jay, you better make a change fast. Each second that passes, you will never have that second back again. What you do 5 seconds from now will dictate what happens 5 years from now. You better make sure that all your decisions are the right ones from now on. It is still not too late for you, black man. I have much to say to you, yet I must go. I have taken some pictures of your nephews and Lynette to try and remind you of what you want to get home to. My cipher is complete, brother. The clan is tight, but only because of the attainment of knowledge of self. I want my sons to be proud of their uncle. I don't want them to think you to be a joke. You must master your emotions, or they will master you. Boy, I was deep, wasn't I? I'm deep. Nigga, this shit's funny. Your money is going to be late. I had to get some car work done. You have to be patient and do without for a while. Let's face it, you living better than most people on the streets. So don't sweat me, nigga. Peace. Oh, cuz. This shit is vintage, man. Oh, this is funny. So, yeah, there we go. One of my pro-black radical rants. And to this day, 2015, I must listen to these 2 to 3 DVD listening niggas tell me about pro-blackness. Man, if you don't get the fuck out my face. Nigga, I wrote the book, nigga. I went head to head with the fucking Klan in that prison, boy. Shit. And didn't have hardly any niggas to help me. Was doing it solo by my motherfucking self. Shit. Pro black these nuts.
And I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blickety black, 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 black.
seems to say it's a pleasure when you treasure all that's new and true and gay. Easy living and we're giving what we know we're dreaming of. We are one having fun walking in the glow of love. Going places, it's a wonder, it's so clear. By a fountain, climbing mountains as we hold each other near. Sipping wine, we try to find that special magic from above as we share our fair talking in the glow of love. Summer, spring, winter, and fall. All the people meeting people, laughing, dancing till the dawn. And we'll always be like this, growing in the glow of love. Be our friend, reaching far to find a star. Our destiny is heaven sent. Making known this loving tone, we'll never part the two of us. We will always reminisce, kissing in the glow of love. a treasure, all that's new and true and gay. Easy living when we're given what we know we're dreaming of. We are one, having fun, walking in the glow of love.
Yeah. And so, hip-hop as a movement is colored with this as well. Not all of hip-hop agrees with KRS-One, and they should. Hip-hop should be challenging everything that anybody is saying out there about. Truth will hold up, and that's all I speak is truth. So I invite all questions. But let's get it clear that all of hip-hop doesn't agree with this. But like I just explained to the lady here, I'm one of the leaders of the culture. I'm not, and I don't say that like I'm above anybody. That's a job. That's a burden. That's a responsibility. That's not something you say and then all of a sudden somebody puts flowers on you. No, that's a hard position to be. To say, wait a minute, I'm trying to birth and lead my culture. So go back now to the 70s. Malcolm X is assassinated. Dr. King is assassinated. John F. Kennedy's assassinated. Medgar Evers assassinated. And Black Panther Party members, it's assassinated. And then all the other little ones that didn't get the name recognition, assassinated. I grew up in that. Hip hop grew up in that. There's two types of people in the world. Black men and black boys. Black boys is who you see on mainstream television. I want the girl, the big house, I'm driving the car. That's little boy stuff. And any man will let you know. Any man knows that. Any adult knows that. Now, I'm not saying that when you're on TV, you can't aspire for the good things in life. No doubt. But a man, a real man, he gets on the TV and first, he looks for his kids. Let me make sure my kids ate today. Are they clean today? Did they learn something today? Are they protected today? Before I can even talk to you, is my kids good? It's a man. Is my woman good? Is she empowered? Does she feel like she can breathe? Is she expressing herself? Does she feel loved? What's my woman doing? Most of the rappers you see on TV, they have no woman in their life. They have little girls who are only interested in little boys. So they play little girl, little boy games. Mm-hmm. I want the guy with the car. That's a little girl, a little boy. I can't argue with that. Leave all that over there, okay? There's a little girl, little boy arena that rappers play into. But the majority of us are men and women, the majority of us. So the movement starts with black men. Hip-hop begins with black men in particular. In particular, not black boys, not white boys, not Asian boys. Men, black men, talking to white men, who are talking to Asian men, who are talking to Latino men. We all come together and we say, like my man, oh man, I can run down, like in graffiti, you got Takey 183, one of the most famous graffiti writers in hip hop. He's Greek. You got Quick and Scene, who I think is Italian. Scene, rest in peace, he passed. But Scene is he's a legend in graffiti writing. It's a white kid. Cap, Big Cap, who's running around crossing everybody out. White kid. They not hip-hop? Of course they hip-hop. But also, they recognize that this ain't about color. This ain't about race. Even white kids that live in the neighborhoods in the Bronx, they know they're just as oppressed as we are. And they feel it every day. These are men, okay? Men, white men. Who are getting hit over the head by the cop, called nigger lover. Or you just want to be a nigger lover by other white men. You walking down the street with your black girlfriend and you got blacks and whites dissing you because whatever. No, that's a man standing for his principles give a fuck what y'all think about me and my wife. I'm a man. Step over here, I'll give you two in your head. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's where hip-hop comes from. That. And that's what we're missing. Because now everyone regards hip-hop as mainstream and MTV. And that's little boy stuff. Even the executives that work at MTV are little boys and little girls. All of them. Because there's no way a man is going to program what's being put on MTV. No way. You cannot say you are a man and then program MTV to be what that bullshit is.
Hey man, seriously, man, y'all gotta stop letting the media just make total asses out of you, man. Because, I mean, the whole prison experience was horrible, but yet and still, it did open my eyes to a lot of things. Because, once again, as above, so below. The prison was a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is society in general. And one of the things that they always used to love to do as far as the prison administration, they used to always love to throw monkey wrenches and shit. And it just seemed to me, of course, this was when I was kind of like not really abreast on the psychology of running a prison, but I soon got hip to the game and shit. And of course, I mean, y'all have all seen the whole prison situation, the whole prison lineup in the movies and shit, how, you know, you got your gangs, and basically your gangs are basically divided by race. You know, you got your Muslims, and you got Hebrew factions, you even got Kemetic factions, you got the Aryans, and you have, of course, you don't really have Asian gangs, pretty much, because Asians don't fuck around and do dumb shit to get in prison. You know what I mean? But yeah, they used to love to always accentuate the differences between the inmates. You know what I mean? Their whole goal was always to keep everybody fighting in the prison. To always have the blacks against the whites. Whites against the blacks. You know, the Christians against the Muslims. You know, they played this out to a T. And I always used to think, like, you know, why do they do that? You know what I mean? You would think that they would try and have this shit more integrated so that people would get to know each other and be more tolerant of each other. My dumb ass, you know, me being green up in that bitch, I'm like, no, that's the last fucking thing they want. They don't want the whole prison population coming together as one. To basically turn around and look at the administration as their true enemy. What kind of stupid shit with that? That's, come on, man. Like, think about that shit. So it's the same thing out here. You know what I mean? They deliberately putting this shit on TV to distract you niggas from real shit that's going on. I mean, while you motherfuckers running around crying and bitching about some nigga getting popped, these motherfuckers, they taking you to the bank. They running around filling their pockets and stealing land, and they overseas raping and pillaging natural resources, but you over here crying about some nigga getting popped. Some nigga getting popped doing dumb shit. Really? How smart are you? You know what I mean? So yeah, it was just always used to bug the shit out of me, man, where I was just like, wow, man. Of course, me being green to the game in the prison, you know, I always used to think that, no, you need to integrate these guys. You need to get them, you know, to stand in front of each other and, you know, and acknowledge each other's worth. And I'm like, seriously, Mike? Seriously? Is that how you think it should be? Prison administration knew better than that shit. It's like, no, get them fighting amongst each other so that, you know, the furthest thing from their mind is to be thinking about fighting us. Shit, get the inmates fighting amongst themselves, and our rule will be absolute. It'll be supreme. You know what I mean? So yeah, man. Prison was an eye-opening experience. The same methods that they use in the fucking prison is the same that they use out here. Shit. The whole prison existence really is an existence that we're all living right now in so-called free society, because they're running this shit just like a fucking prison.
They're running it just like a prison. The whole divide and conquer that went down in prison with the prison authorities, making sure that all the whites and the blacks hated each other within those walls. It's the same shit they're doing out here. And of course, since I did the time in that goddamn environment, you know, I can see it play out instantaneously. I can see the tactic and the technique with the quickness. While these other motherfuckers run around actually thinking that, I mean, goddamn, why would they put the shit on TV if, you know, it didn't somehow benefit them? You know, that's what it kills me about these so-called, you know, super duper intelligent pro-black niggas. It's like, wow, you readily admit that the media puts out propaganda and they're always putting shit out there so that they can maintain control, but yet you turn around and you think that this shit is hitting the airwaves on accident? You think this doesn't serve their purposes? Oh, Lord have mercy. These niggas right here. These new niggas, man. You new niggas. Y'all niggas is comedy. Y'all niggas is comedy, man. Shit. Like I said, man, being in the prison industrial complex and being in the military industrial complex, seeing the blood and the guts, and I mean, I'm in a situation where I've seen too much. I mean, when niggas talking about, nigga, when the shit goes down and when shit gets real, and some niggas say that shit, and I be like, man, you don't really want to see the shit go down. You don't really want to see shit get real. You know what I mean? Because these are just slogans that niggas say. You know what I mean? But, nigga, I've seen the shit go down. I've seen when shit gets real. And you motherfuckers, y'all don't want to see shit get real, man. You know? Y'all don't want to see shit get real. All these niggas popping about revolution. You motherfuckers, y'all have no concept. You have no idea what the fuck you asking for. You don't. You don't know what the fuck you asking for, man. You know what I'm saying? Fuck. So you better read a book, sit your ass down, and just learn your basic ABCs and your 1-2-3s, man. Because you talking about all this, we gonna grab guns. And nigga, you don't produce no guns. Shit, you don't produce no ammo. You don't have no farms. Shit. You don't have no water treatment plants. Shit. You know, you thinking that motherfuckers is going to come in with the troops and mop you up. They don't even have to do that shit. All they got to do is cut off your logistics, nigga. Just cut off your logistics and you done, man. Shit. You want to talk about a siege mentality? Siege warfare? That's what's happening right now in the inner city. You can't get hardly jack shit in the inner city as far as supplies to start a revolution, much less carry a revolution on. I mean, seriously, man, you know, you niggas with this, you know, the white man this and the white man that and the white and once again, I was once part of that shit, man, but I wised up, man, and I see, you know, I see with sight beyond sight now. And you motherfuckers, you can't even open up a corner fucking store. So I don't know how the fuck you plan on carrying out a revolution. How the fuck you gonna carry out a revolution? And you niggas, y'all don't have the fucking intestinal fortitude to open up a fucking corner goddamn store. I'm not even saying, you know, open up a fucking school. A school would be much harder to open. I'm just saying a bitch ass corner store. How many niggas own a fucking corner store? Huh? Shit. Come on, man. Like I said, you don't have the logistics to do no fucking revolution, my nigga. You don't have it. Shit. No food. You can't supply the beans or the bullets. And that's how motherfuckers get rich, you know, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. You know, they fund both sides of a war. You know what I'm saying? They feed both sides the beans and the bullets and the bandages. Shit. The medical shit, the food shit, And of course the weapons. Shit. And anytime they want, they can cut all that shit off. And they're doing it now. They're doing it just, you know, by increments. Little by little. So that you don't even fucking notice it. You know what I mean? Like over here where I'm at now, like there's hardly no department stores. There's hardly no grocery stores anymore. You know, the mall is left. And, you know, pretty soon there won't be jack shit over here. Pretty soon, we'll have to go all the way over to the white side of town to get anything. And so it's a situation where if shit did actually pop off, you know, some old so-called martial law shit, man, you know, it would be real easy for them motherfuckers to just, like, blockade or block off the roads to stop you from going anywhere. And yo, as you just sit up in this side of town and starve, you know, they would cut off the gas, cut off the heat, cut off the food, cut off the water. Shit, nigga. Man, there's degrees, man. There's levels to this shit, man. You know, a lot of y'all thinking that most of this shit is going to happen, you know, at the end of a gun. And it's not. This shit is like economic. Fuck, it's economic warfare. It's siege warfare. Shit. And that's how they soften your ass up before they bring in the rifles and the bombs and all that kind of shit. You know what I mean? So, okay. I vented. I feel a lot better. Once again, I would like to stress to anyone, you know, because I've received a couple emails with cats trying to pigeonhole me, you know, with this whole, are you for Tommy or are you for Tariq, man? Fuck that. I ain't on that shit, man. Like I said, I'm not carrying no niggas' pom-poms, man. Shit. I basically see the value in both of them, and I see some of the bullshit coming out of both of them. You know what I mean? I can sit back and I can agree with certain things I said, but each time I, you know, give an agreement about what one of them might say, I'm, you know, I would have someone, you know, jump on in like, ah, nigga, fuck that. And of course, this is mostly from a Tariq supporter. Most of these motherfuckers are fucking idiots, man. Not gonna lie to you, man. Shit. Not going to lie to you. Most of the stupid shit I hear is coming from these new niggas, man. These two DVD watching ass cocksuckers, man. For real. Motherfucker, get some life experience under your goddamn belt before you approach me. Shit. You ain't paid your dues like I had, nigga. I've been on the front line with this shit. Shit. I ain't even told you about the shit I went through in Saudi Arabia when I was a Muslim over there and the shit I had to deal with from my commanding officers. Nigga. Where these motherfuckers made me walk around the desert with no fucking bullets because they was scared I was going to do some friendly fire on their bitch ass. Don't get me started talking about that shit. Gonna call me a fucking coon.
Quick! I'm gonna kill you, Quick! You made me shoot one of my boys in the back of the head! And I know you had something to do with what happened to my brother, Quick.
Yo, man, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's bullshit, man. You know what I'm talking about.
You broke my nose, man. Yo, man, I'ma say it one more time. I don't know what the fuck y'all are talking about, and I suggest y'all let me go on my way. Oh, really? Oh, really?
I suggest you kiss my ass, Quick. Only way you're going home is shot, motherfucker. What the hell you think you're doing with that little shit? Stop it! Don't shoot
that little motherfucker no more! Ah. Fuck this! Black Mac Almighty Triple XL coming to you live on record from MacCity.com. Thank you.
What the hell you think you're doing with that little shit? Stop it! Stop it! Don't shoot that little motherfucker no more!